No creature has captured the human imagination quite like the king of the dinosaurs, Tyrannosaurus Rex. The giant lizard dominates natural history museum halls. Artists and CGI film teams present T-Rex as an enormous, powerful lizard, sprinting, tiny arms flailing, gaping mouth, exposing an artillery of sharp teeth, and of course, its menacing trademark roar. But what if we got all that wrong? What if the mighty beast sounded a lot more like this? Ben Guarino is staff writer for The Washington Post, where he wrote about new findings that real dinosaurs sounded a lot, what,
wimpier,
Ben? Wimpier than the ones in Jurassic Park. So what did the T-Rex, king of all dinosaurs, really sound like?
So, you know, we can't say with perfect accuracy exactly what it sounded like, but we have some pretty good ideas. And based off of some of our best estimates, they sounded like these birds that are able to coo and bellow and hoot.
Like?
Well, so there are ostriches that fill their throat sacs up, and they have these strange sort of cooing sounds. But some of the crocodiles, too, have these really impressive, they're low bellows, but they're not these big, savage, Chewbacca-like roars that Steven Spielberg is so fond of.
Well, this is all new research from University of Texas biologists, if I have it right. How did they determine this?
Yeah, so in order to get a sense of what dinosaurs sound like, what we can do is, and what the scientists at the University of Texas at Austin and some of their other colleagues, they looked at birds and crocodiles. Now, there's some compelling genetic research that says that these birds and these crocodilians are the closest living relatives of Tyrannosaurus and all of these big famous dinosaurs that we know. So using the sounds that these birds and the crocodiles made, they went through and they looked at all the different sounds that these animals could make. Now, the birds with the biggest bodies and all of the crocodilians made what's called a closed mouth sound. So they kept their mouths closed as they made the sound. But what they did was they inflated their throat sacs, if they had them, or they kind of vibrated in their chests, and it made this really low sort of bass bellow, or in the case of like a pigeon, sort of coo, maybe a little bit wimpier than what we would have imagined.
So closed mouth. You know, where did this iconic, you know, head lurching forward, fabricated roar of the T-Rex come from?
You know, I have to imagine that it was just some sound guy who figured, you know, we have this idea of these giant, massive beasts, and you think of lions roaring, and you think of, you know, all of these top predators that we associate with these terrifying sounds. So if you go back through some of the history of the first dinosaur movies, even Godzilla, I know he's not a dinosaur, but he has this really iconic primal scream, and I think that just sort of stuck in our minds, in our cultural consciousness. If you start to look at birds, and now we know that birds are pretty closely related to dinosaurs, you don't really see those great roars.
So what else has Hollywood and CGI teams misled us with about dinosaurs?
So I don't know if they misled us from the beginning, but right around when Jurassic Park was first made, and in the time since then, we've sort of increasingly got this sense that some of the dinosaurs and some of our iconic dinosaurs might have had feathers. Now, there's some debate about whether or not T-Rex had feathers, but they think maybe when T-Rex was young, right after he hatched, and these juvenile T-Rexes might have even had some what they call proto-feathers. So they're not perfectly like what we think of chicken feathers, but they're pretty darn close. So there's an idea that, you know, even velociraptors were really covered in a lot of different feathers and things like that.
So first we learned dinosaurs covered in feathers. Now they close their mouths when they call and sound like doves or ostriches. So are dinosaurs, this stuff of childhood obsessions and so many books and pajamas, are they in any danger of losing their allure?
Personally, I don't think so. I think this idea of a 15-foot feathery creature that bellows like a crocodile is still pretty terrifying and still captures our imagination. It might even look, I don't know, almost more exotic and awe-inspiring than some sort of scaly, pebbly, lizard-like thing.
Well, Ben, thank you for, enlightening us.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Ben Guarino, he's a staff writer for the Washington Post, and you'll find a link to his piece, Think Dinosaurs Roared Like in Jurassic Park? The truth, new research says, is a bit wimpier. The link is at wordofmouthradio.org. Well, our understanding of how dinosaurs looked and sounded may have evolved since Spielberg's mega blockbuster Jurassic Park. But if you head to your local library, you're sure to discover a lot of children's books that still feature the scaly reptilian dinosaurs of yore. Sure, some of them are just old, but even contemporary illustrators are sticking with outdated science, despite evidence to the contrary. Children's book illustrator Scott Hartman, one of those willing to put feathers on a velociraptor, explains why.
Obviously, there's going to be some mental inertia. I mean, dinosaur still is a euphemism for the thing that's out of date, waiting to go extinct, right? So in part of it, I think we might even have a cultural mental block. And at other times, I think there might just genuinely be that people involved don't know. You don't have to pass a specific qualification to write and publish a book. You just have to be good at making and publishing books. So in some cases, they might literally just not be aware of the data.
Whether or not this is a problem up for debate. On the one hand, dinosaurs have long slipped off the leash of nonfiction and taken on a mythic quality that has little to do with true paleontology. But dinosaurs are also an entry point for young, science-oriented kids who are interested in fossils partly because dinosaurs are not fiction. And by that logic, aren't we missing an educational opportunity when we promote outdated science in picture books?
When we sit around and lament the state of education in our country, you know, maybe there's some looking in the mirror for, like, both promoting and or accepting things that we know are out of date being out there for sale. But again, there's no, obviously, single regulatory body responsible for that. There's no, you know, paleo police outside of perhaps on internet chat boards.
Well, internet chat boards aside, there are at least a few kids' books that are not afraid of feathered dinos. Scott Hartman's own ABC Dinosaurs is a good one. There is also a very direct Boy, Were We Wrong About Dinosaurs by Kathleen Kudlinski. Or if you're looking for a book that's both feathered and fictional, how about George O'Connor's If I Had a Raptor? It is not exactly accurate, but one thing is for sure, the author is not living in the past.